Do I have everybody's attention now?
Now it's time for Jason Martin and Vol for Life Ramon Foster.
Powered by All Four Seasons Garage Doors.
Together, they are J-Mart and Ramon on 104.5 The Zone.
The time, 104.5 The Zone, the place, J-Mart and Ramon, the show. And we're not saying a show, it's like the Ohio State University around here.
Yeah, nah.
The show.
You know who we are,
that's
okay?
Right. That's right. Bruce Gradkowski, Pro Football Focus, Ramon's former teammate as well.
Mm-hmm.
Will join us here in about 10, 15 minutes. Stick with us. Jonathan Schaefer's with us. He completes our Voltron, but today Thundercats is more of the talk. Of course, during the break... Yeah, we do a sports talk show. We're sitting here talking about cartoons back in the day and how much we enjoyed them.
Yeah.
And how much a lot of them still hold up pretty well if you actually have a chance to go back in terms of vintage stuff. Schaefer talking about how his childhood was robbed from him when Saturdays and Sundays, Saturday mornings in particular, were no longer. When they started doing live action stuff all over the place.
So what did it? Was it Saturday Sports then? Like we
Saved by the Bell, man. Saved by the Bell was like the first thing that was live action, which I'm not gonna there will be no Saved by the Bell slander
but
on
this
radio show.
I had a buddy of mine when I was younger, a friend of mine. We were raised in the same project. His name was Patrick, and he used to love that show. I could not get into Saved by the Bell.
Ramon.
Hey.
Demerit. If I didn't work for WGFX, I would work for KKTY Bayside, home of the Tigers.
You know what? I need to go back and check it out. There's a few shows that I missed. I just didn't get when I was younger, man.
It's on Peacock.
It's on Peacock. I'll go check it out for you.
Look, man, you played in the NFL for 11 years. You can
get
the streaming services.
I can get the stream. You know what, man? I tell everybody, I'm broke, baby. This is just a facade.
Yeah.
This is just a facade.
It's an impressive facade. Let's just say that. That's Ramon Foster. He played for the Vols. He also played in the NFL where they do pay people. So that's his thing. He's on Twitter at Ramon Foster. I'm Jason Martin. I'm at J-Mart Radio. Schaefer's at Schaefer on Sports. We're at J-Mart and Ramon. So we talked about the Isaiah Wilson situation on Monday and just how sad the whole thing was.
Yeah.
And you reached out and said, you know, hey, I'm offering, if he needs help, reach out to me. If not me, and I said, if not you, then he needs to reach out to somebody and realize that people are there for this purpose.
And you know what? He has some people around him because they have a very savvy O-line for sure. And that group is always like a family for the ones I've been around year to year. You know each other's kids. You know each other's spouses. You know everything about them. And he's just a young guy that's figuring his way in this crazy year. And he just got a little sidetracked. As I said before, he's in a position now where everybody's still rooting for him. And I know one of the things Coach Vrabel said is, you know, he's not a bad person. You know, good people can do bad things, and he's not a bad person. And that's the way I see him. This is a huge adjustment coming into this league as far as, like as you said, the NFL pays you. He has a step up on everybody where he's a first-rounder, man. That's – you're royalty in this league. We've seen first rounders stay around this league when they probably didn't deserve to. And he's got that tagging along on him right now. And just the realization of it, the adjustment of not being in a college dorm, and you have freedom. You know, colleges give you a lot of things. They give you structure. They give you a time schedule. They give you a schedule of what you should be doing. There's always somebody calling you. Now he doesn't have that. So I'll just say it's a learning curve for him, and I can't wait to see him bounce back from it because he seems to be a good kid. It's just a little bit of we were all young in this situation. I'm going to contribute to that.
No doubt. I mean, we could talk about the dumb things that I did when I was young as well.
Or do you want to talk about it?
And again, you learn this about this industry too, and then we're going to hear from Mike Vrabel and what he said yesterday in his press availability about Isaiah Wilson. But you don't ever judge the person.
Mm-hmm.
You judge the behavior there, or you judge the performance, not the performer. Like, I might have thought Ben Roethlisberger stunk it up on Monday, but that's not Ben Roethlisberger the guy. That's Ben Roethlisberger that particular game or this stretch of games or whatever. You got to make sure you're not analyzing the person. I don't know Isaiah Wilson.
Yeah.
I've never met him before. I've never sat in a room with him. I don't know his heart. I hope some people out there do, and I hope that he is reaching out to them. But here is Coach Vrabel. He had a couple of things to say that we want you to hear about Isaiah Wilson yesterday. Here is Coach speaking about his rookie.
I think that Isaiah is he's a good-hearted kid. He's a good-natured kid. He's been, you know, since the time that I've been with him, you know, he's, been engaged in the meetings. But again, you know, having some setbacks and some adversity early on in any player's career can kind of go one of two ways. You know, you can make some positive change and kind of get this going, or guys, you know, don't, and then they kind of fade away. But, you know, we're all going to face adversity, you know, in anything that we do in life. And this just happens to be with football and then the, you know, things that happen outside of it. So hopefully we can all come together and help, and Isaiah can improve and start helping the football team.
What he's saying there is important, because bad can multiply.
Yeah.
Good can too. That's why it's always important to think about the positive stuff. But when you look at Isaiah Wilson, one thing can become two, which can become three, and then he just can't stop. He can't get out of his own way. All he needs to do is just start.
Yeah.
He just needs to turn around. Right now, it feels like he's walking down the wrong pathway. Mm-hmm. And maybe he thinks he's alone as he's walking down it, Moan, but every step you take is a chance to walk off that path,
yeah,
and start walking back towards something else. And that becomes a thing. Like, think about Rasheed Wallace. Rasheed Wallace got teed up his whole career. A lot of guys would have gotten away with much of what he did.
Yeah.
But his reputation preceded him.
Yep.
You don't want that to become your reality if you're Isaiah Wilson.
No, because anytime there's a mistake, and let's say you're just there and you had nothing to do with it, your name's going to be attached to it and you're going to be the cause of it. You're going to get more of a highlight than anybody else in those situations like that. You know, this doesn't correlate to it, but I know Pac-Man. I know people that know Pac-Man, who's the former Tennessee Titan here also. And everything I've ever heard about him personally is, if you know him, he is a grand guy. You want him on your side. But, of course, he gets the bad rep on the field and some of the stuff that he does, because it sticks with you. People will agitate you because they know they can get something out of you.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Sure.
And that follows you in those situations. So for a guy like Isaiah, I'm not comparing him to Pac-Man. I'm just comparing the situation, because everybody I know that know Adam Jones, Pac-Man, he will give you the shirt off his back. But when you're in a crowd and people know they can get you to react, or they can get you to go down the same road that they're going, then they draw you to that type of stuff. And that's what he doesn't want in his career. As I said, everybody's still rooting for him right now, as I am, as you are, as Titans Nation is also. And what you got to realize is, he has time to correct it. We've all been there. Some of the stuff that we did in colleges or the early years in the NFL was on social media the way it is now. It'll be a lot more suspensions around this league, you know?
Yeah. Vrabel said, as long as there is an honest effort to improve, we're going to put forth that effort as a coaching staff and as an organization to help any player with any issues that they have. That quote right there should be all Isaiah Wilson needs to hear.
Yeah.
Lean into the Tennessee Titans organization. Vrabel seems to me to understand, because he played, what it's like to be a player.
Yeah.
To understand what it's like to be young. Everybody understands what it's like to be young. So my guess is his door is wide open to
always
sit down and be like, Coach, I'm screwing up, man.
Yeah.
How do I fix this?
Yeah.
I don't think that's the wrong way to go about this if you're Isaiah Wilson.
Now imagine how you would have been at, I think the kid's 21 years old, coming into this league. As I said yesterday, he's the apex of his family. Everybody comes to him for everything. You go from being a young kid to now I kind of control the tick of everything that happens around me. And he can control it in a sense, because he has the resources and he has the fame behind it. A lot of us will condemn him, or I'm sure we looked at him sideways over the weekend by saying, man, what are you doing? But when you're in those situations, it's a whole lot different to justify some of those things or not justify it, because this is new. This is a learning curve for him, and he's just got to be a little bit more professional. He's got to move with a lot more discretion. And one of the things that I always like to say, or me and my brothers like to, just be cool.
You know what just be cool means? It means life's probably moving real fast for him right now. Slow down. It's amazing how much easier life gets when you stop trying to drive 150 and you actually see the sights and you can pay attention to things. Like, you are in control of the speed of your life.
Yeah.
And at 21, I don't know that you know that, especially when you've just been given money for the first time. And I mean, look, I can't speak to this. You can, but being given that kind of money after probably not having virtually any of it your life, it was a tough upbringing for Isaiah Wilson. I don't even know what your mind does in that process. If you don't have the right stability system around you to save you from yourself, I can't even imagine how tough that is.
The people you have around you in those early years could take you far left or it could keep you on the right direction. And that's true. Like you said, seeing the amount of money that comes, I've always called the NFL fantasy land. I've always addressed it as fantasy land because it's like the stuff that you have happen to you or for you while you're in the league is insane. Who gets paid that way? And you know, it's an entertainment, but you have the free time to do whatever you want to. At the time where you had to think about, I'm going to date myself a little bit, when I used to go to Best Buy in college and buy a CD.
I still do that.
$21 for one. And now you're a rookie, you're in the league, you're buying five CDs at a time. You know, it's just one thing. If you need a TV for your house, you don't have to think about doing it. Or, okay, I want to rent a nice place. Well, now I can. And just having the access to do that stuff is a little bit of an adjustment. And if you don't seek the help or have a good stability, a good stable group of people around you that's not looking for anything from you, they just want to help support you, that's a hard task for guys that don't put themselves in the right situation. I'm not saying he's not in the right situation, but as of right now, he's got to make some adjustments, because those same people that are there right now have probably been here in this city the entire time doing the same thing to a rookie year in and year out, as far as just wanting to hang on and be around the game. He is the show. People want to be around him because he brings a lot with him. And learning to decipher who is going to get in my inner circle is a pivotal part of your success in this NFL.
Bruce Gradkowski joins us next. He played 11 years in the NFL too. And he played with Ramon.
He did.
And he's now with Pro Football Focus. That'll be a good conversation. Stick with us at 7:15 on 104.5 The Zone. I'm not going to say anything more than this dude, Justin, on Twitter is about to get reported to Twitter for suggesting that I was too old for Family Matters.
He said you was 57.
Bro.
I'm looking at you.
Just because I said Thundercats, he's like, you've got to be 60 years old. Come on, man.
He did mention some awesome cartoons like Bobby's World, Family Matters.
Family Matters is not a cartoon.
Family Matters was an awesome series. Well, they're not a cartoon, but that is an awesome series. Okay?
Look, man. Justin, you're demerit, bro.
He's pushing it right
demerit,
now.
Demerit, man.
That is demerit.
You got it. This is the old Red Fox line. You got a tall order of lip. I got a short stack of patience. 7:23 here on 104.5 The Zone. Jay Martz and Ramon, the man laughing, as usual, is Ramon Foster on Twitter at Ramon Foster. I'm Jason Martin at Jay Martin Radio. We welcome in. We have Pro Football Focus on every Wednesday. We've got Bruce Gradkowski today. He's on Twitter at BGradkowski5. Moan? That's your former teammate right there. Say hello.
Bruce, welcome to the show, man. I'm honored that you are here because you're on the other side like I am right now. We know being on the other side of being in the media, hey, it can be good and it can be bad. But you, sir, are a good guy, and now it's Brucey time.
Oh, man. Ramon, thanks for having me on, guys. You know, to wake up, talk to my guy, because it's hard. It's hard being retired now. You miss the locker room and the meetings and the camaraderie. So I'm glad to be on with you guys in Thundercats, man. That was my jam back in the
day. Come on, man. That's what I'm talking about. There we go.
See, See, I didn't catch all of it like that. If it's on somewhere, I'll have to look at it. Bruce, we got to open this up with a little bit. Since you are a quarterback and the Titans are going against a young quarterback in Gardner Minshew, is he there to stay, or if they don't go into tank mode, because you know, like I know, that's not on the players' minds. What do you see from Gardner Minshew and this organization moving forward?
Yeah, Ramon, that's a good question. I mean, you know how it is, being in the huddle, and Minshew is a guy that you would love in the huddle because you would think, this dude gives us a chance. And you wouldn't be thinking about his arm strength and how tall he is and all that, but it's like, man, when this guy approaches the huddle, his confidence, his swag, he gives us a chance, and he's able to extend plays. You know, the thing he has to do is continue to protect the football. He did a good job the other day. I think Jay Gruden's offense had a nice little game plan around him. And honestly, he's just like a young baller. Like, it's hard to wrap your head around because, you know, he doesn't look the part, right? So you're thinking, okay, this is fun now, but it's not going to last. Just like the Duck Dynasty last year, you know, everyone was on the bandwagon, you know, loved what the thought of it was. But at the end of the day, it's hard to be consistent week in and week out. But I think Minshew last week showed he was very efficient. He made good decisions, and he naturally makes big plays when they're there. So if he continues to do that and the Jags are competitive, I don't see how you can replace him.
Bruce Gradkowski of Pro Football Focus, of course, 11-year NFL veteran, just like Ramon. An 11-year NFL veteran. When you watched Ryan Tannehill last year and what you saw on Monday night, have you seen enough in terms of just watching him from your expertise as a quarterback as well? Have you seen enough to just know that the Titans have made a good decision here in committing to him long term? Is this the guy that you thought he could have been even when it was going wrong for him in Miami?
I think this is a perfect setup for Tannehill. You know, he's got a head coach that believes in defense, run the football, play action pass. And if all those three things can come together, Tannehill could be very successful. And the thing you got to watch, though, the other night, there was a few plays that creeped up. You know, it was kind of like, Henry free released out of the backfield. So it was a five-man protection. And Tannehill got blasted right as he threw. And it didn't look like he had a sense of urgency. But to me, it looked like he was possibly hot, and he wasn't aware. And then there was another one that he got a batted pass, and if the pass didn't get batted at the line of scrimmage, it possibly could have been intercepted. So those are the plays there that Tannehill's got to play clean games. He has to protect the football. He has to execute in the play-action pass game. And if he does those things, he could be very successful. He had a tremendous year last year. I think he's a more than capable starting quarterback to get the job done and needs to be done. But, you know, I thought it was a solid win the other night. And it's a game, too. Like, you know, Ramon, you know, anytime you could sneak out of a week, especially week one, with a win and then get to learn from the film, it's such a good feeling.
Yeah, that's what we were saying. So you want to start the season off right, or at least with a good taste in your mouth as far as getting a win. Ugly win, don't matter. You want to win. You speak about Tannehill getting sacked right there, and the Titans have a guy on the team now in Clowney. And I like to call him a disruptor. Everybody wants to call him a disruptor. The sack count is something that's always going to, you know, follow him a little bit. But as a quarterback, what's the worst situation to be in? You getting sacked or the hand in your face as you throw the ball? Because we saw that's what he gets a lot of, is hands in your face. And that can do a lot of things to the ball. What do you see as being the worst as a quarterback?
Yeah, I think, you know, that was a great addition with Clowney. You pointed out, man, I want to see Clowney be even more disruptive in the pass game. You know, he's really good against the run, and see what he could bring there. You know, I think Vrabel is a guy you'd love to play for, so I'm sure he's going to get more out of Clowney this year. And as a quarterback, with that hand in your face, man, that is something that, you know, those batted passes are so annoying because it's something you can't always control. And I wasn't one that always had batted passes, but anytime it did happen, the excuse, oh, he's a smaller quarterback, oh, he, you know, his release, oh, this and that. So there's always an excuse behind it, but those are the worst because when it does get batted, man, it just goes straight up in the air. And I just think of the play TJ Watt made the other day, coming off just feeling it out, just drifting back in quick game and making the interception against Daniel Jones on Monday night. I mean, that play was spectacular, and the feel for the game. And as a quarterback, it's hard to see a guy pop out like that, you know. So those are probably the toughest ones.
Bruce Gronkowski, our guest, he's with Pro Football Focus. Bruce, in addition to what we've asked you so far, who stood out to you in a Titans uniform on Monday night? Who graded highly with you guys?
You know, I think, Derrick Henry, just him being back and just seeing it was like kind of a solid performance all around, I thought was pretty good. I mean, I just kind of want to see, you know, Corey Davis stepping up. This team has to kind of operate that it's not going to be on one guy's shoulder. They got to put it together as a team, kind of like how they did last year, you know, and if they do that in all three phases through offensively, defensively, and special teams, they're going to be a tough team to beat, you know, and I think Tannehill has to continue to make his plays. I mean, they did pretty good on third down the other night, their third down efficiency. So if they could be good in situational football on a team that plays smart football, I was just kind of impressed, and I thought it was a pretty solid win. And if they could get the field goal thing right, they could be a tough team.
So you know, now the NFL is in all sports are very much into analytics and stats and scenarios. It's putting a number on a lot of things. Coach Vrabel was talking about them being good in the red zone. In Pittsburgh, we had, you know, 7 shots every day of practice. We do 7 plays from the 2-yard line and every single day to work on tight red zone. The Titans are going to be known as a run-first team, I think, for the majority of the year. The question I got for you is, since you're in the analytics side of this thing now, how important is it to be able to throw on the tight red zone or in goal line situation? Because the 2 scores that the Titans got was tight red zone throws. Mm-hmm. How do you see that evolving, or what do the numbers show as far as you being able to do that?
Yeah, I mean, that's important. And I think, you know, tight red zone or even, you know, in the middle of the field, people get lost of, you know, let's run the football, let's pound the ball, this and that. But, you know, for a quarterback, man, if you can mix the pass game in there and not just run on first down, run on second down, throw on third down, you know, it's now you're playing a downhill football game. Now it's easier on the quarterback. And that's same in the tight red zone. You know, the windows are a lot tighter. Throws and decisions have to be made that much quicker and faster and more efficient. And now when you're tight red zone, that's where the game plan set up, where you're not always just handing it off on first down and then, oh, let's try again on second down. Now you're stuck on third down. Like, oh, what do we do? Okay, let's rely on Tannehill to make a play. You know, that's tough for any quarterback. And that's why, you know, Ben used to tell us all the time in meeting rooms. He's like, man, if we went for it every fourth down and we threw the ball 4 times in a row, I mean, I'm going to complete at least one of them out of 4. You know, mm-hmm. And so like the chances are just significantly more to do that. And especially, you know, when you have a guy like Big Ben, I mean, Tannehill, you know, is kind of a different player in a sense of what kind of offense he operates in. But I think it is very important to switch out the run and the pass and make sure you are utilizing that pass game in the tight red.
Bruce, when you look at Tennessee's opponent this week, Jacksonville, we were talking earlier in the program about, look, that was a really talented group a handful of years ago. It really wasn't that long ago. It was 2017 when they were having that run. But it seemed like a lot of me first guys. It wasn't guys that were necessarily playing for the good of the team. And they've jettisoned a lot of them. So they've lost some Pro Bowlers. But Minshew and the guys that are there right now, they seem to like playing together. And they seem to be in it as a unit. What do you think of Jacksonville? Because that had to be one of the surprises of the week, them being able to get past Indianapolis and Phillip Rivers on Sunday.
Oh, it definitely was, man. I was shocked, you know, but I was also happy. You know, Jay Gruden, their new offensive coordinator, I played with him in Cincy, you know, played for under his offense. And so I was impressed, but it just proved, too, that there's something about Minshew that just the guys like, and he's a good leader in that locker room, and I think they did a really good job. I mean, Minshew was 13 for 13 for 113 yards and 2 touchdowns without play action Sunday. You know, those are, you know, without play action pass. So it just shows that he played very efficient. He was smart with the football. And then, you know, with for seeing Doug Marrone's comments that this, you know, he's closer to this team than he's been with any other team as a head coach. It just shows the point you're talking about. Now it's not as much individualized and not as much selfishness in the locker room. They're coming together as a team. And honestly, man, I think that culture, that environment, that's how you win. You know, when everyone buys into the common goal, you see Bill Belichick all the time. There's not one player bigger than the team. And I think that's the direction Jacksonville wanted to go. And now they're there. And it was kind of like, okay, you know, that was a cool win, but let's keep our eyes open and see if they can sustain this. Because I don't think anyone picked them, you know, even close to win in that division. So it'll be interesting to see how they fare the rest of the season. But I think right now it's just all about culture for them and guys, you know, pulling in a rope in the same direction.
What wins out most in your mind, talent or culture?
Oh, man, that's, you know, I think culture. You know, I think you definitely have to have talent, and that's the biggest thing. I mean, Ramon and I were up close to it with Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, Big Ben. I mean, there's so many weapons, Martavis Bryant in Pittsburgh. But Mike Tomlin is one of the best leaders I've been around. So the atmosphere and the environment was great to come to work every day, and he was able to manage all the different personalities, all the weapons we had, all the star players the right way to make the culture fine. And I think at the end of the day, you know, that precedes anything else. You know, you have to have enough talent, but at the end of the day, man, if you don't have guys working in the same direction, man, I just think that's a virus that seeps in, and that's not good for the team in the locker room.
When you look at the division, how do you look at the AFC South right now in terms of where Tennessee stacks up, and where do you think the Titans stack up against the rest of the conference? Most people look at Chiefs, Ravens, and then there's a bit of a drop off there, but Tennessee's probably in that next mix.
Yeah, I mean, I think I do think so. I mean, you know, when I looked at it and I think about that division, you know, man. I always look at the quarterbacks first, you know, and I think in that division, we're always thinking Deshaun Watson, and now it's Phillip Rivers over there. So to be honest, I'm like, okay, I think Rivers is going to have a really good year because he's back with Frank Reich. They're going to be, you know, they have the best offensive line probably in the league. And with that running game, man, I think the Colts. And then I'm like, okay, Deshaun Watson, you can't ever count him out. So I think they come in second, and then the Titans, and then the Jaguars fourth. But man, you know, that's why we play this game, and that's why it's so exciting. I love the storylines. I love watching to see how it unfolds, because talking about culture, I think Vrabel does have that, and he does build it. I think it was last year is really when I bought into the Titans, when I saw how Vrabel handled the situation with Marcus Mariota and Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah.
And that did not detour the team and their goal and their focus. And so for him to be able to communicate it the right way, to put your draft pick that you drafted in the first round on the bench for Ryan Tannehill to do what's best for the football team, but also to not make that a big storyline in the locker room and everyone buy in, that was impressive. And that's what has me being a Vrabel fan. So, you know, I have that list, you know, the order I just mentioned, but, man, I would love to see the Titans continue to do what they do, because I'm a huge Vrabel fan. So we'll see how it goes, but it's definitely a tough division with Deshaun Watson, Rivers. But if Rivers keeps turning the ball over like he does, they might not be a main problem anymore in the AFC South.
Moan is that's what she said, guy.
Bruce knows that.
Bruce, when I say that, does that ring a bell to you?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and especially when it comes off the wall, you're not expecting it. That might be one of the best comments that could really turn your day around in a positive light when someone hits you with that when it's unexpected.
And see, that's what I was explaining to you know, the listeners that we have here. We in Pittsburgh, we had a culture of inclusion, of everybody just being able to be you, and that's one of the things I'm starting to see. For sure, being in the city from the Titans right now, man. And you speak about, you know, the Titans being one of those teams, Bruce, real quick. on a national scale, because you are a national media guy now, how do you view this organization moving forward? Because it's important, because you've seen the way it's run and I've seen the way it's run also. How do you see the respect coming towards this city and to this team?
I mean, I think you look at this team and this organization is a legit contender now. I mean, I'm a huge fan of Vrabel. I think, you know, I know he played the game, so he understands what it's like to be a player. So that locker room, the culture, the stuff we talk about is so important and vital. And that's what Vrabel brings. And when I think of the Titans now, I think of a team that's going to be disciplined, that's going to be tough, that's going to play good on defense, you know, all facets that you need to win a football game. So when I think of Vrabel and the Titans organization, they're on the right track, man. They have a solid veteran quarterback that's been around the game. And, of course, Ramon, you know how they had to keep my guy, Toledo guy, Logan Woodside, as the backup. So just seeing that makes me think they're going to be just fine.
Bruce, we appreciate it. We look forward to talking to you again sometime soon. Thanks for making time.
Thanks, Bruce. Yeah, thanks, we appreciate guys. It, man. We'll have to tell the story. We'll have to tell the story next time when you came in a huddle and said it's Brucey time.
What's up? You know, my man. Thanks
Thank
for
you,
having
Bruce.
Me on.
That's Bruce Gretkowski, BGretkowski5 on Twitter. It's Brucey time. That's a demerit.
Really,
what that is.
He's one of the coolest guys you will ever meet in your life, man. And you root for a guy like him, man. So it's good to see him on the national scene right now and what he's done so far.
We'll talk about what he just had to say about the Titans when we come back. Also, maybe some unfortunate circumstances for both of us this week. Off air. We might discuss a little bit of that as well. And we'll take your phone calls. I see Austin's on the line. We'll get to you when we come back. 741, J Mart and Ramon, 104.5 The Zone.
That's what she said.
Our thanks to Bruce Gretkowski at 747 on 104.5 The Zone. Jason Martin, Ramon Foster with you. Little beasties. Here to finish off. Hello, Nasty.
That beat gets you going, too. If you don't bob your head on that one, I'm gonna have to start like checking your pulse.
That's usually true with a lot of Beastie Boys.
By the way, that was a rejected name for this show, Hello, Nasty.
Hello, glad
we didn't go with that one, quite frankly. I don't know how the branding would have gone.
I don't know. Depends on what you guys do after work, okay? That's all I'm saying.
That is a demerit.
Yeah. That was some point.
That's why I just sat back, and I'm like, I bet you he's got this one for us. Okay. We're on Twitter at JMart and Ramon. So I asked Bruce about this with the Jaguars in particular, but it's true about the Tennessee Titans as well in terms of the culture, and that's your game on Sunday here in Nashville, although you won't be able to attend it in person. What would you rather have, talent / individual skill, Ramon, or culture, team mentality?
Give me culture, team mentality. Because we've seen what talent can do. Look at a couple of years ago with the Rams. Yeah, they made it to the show, but they did not win. You know, like that. Those are the things. You look at what happens in New England recently. You know, is who do they have? We know. Yeah, they have Gronk. They have some good players, but their culture. They can take a bad guy who has a bad history and make him a really good player. Because they know how to bring guys in. You know, that's the type of thing that their culture has been able to do. So much so, I feel like from 2014 to 2018, our offense in Pittsburgh was pumping, okay? Guys were making Pro Bowls, getting big deals. Guys were getting signed. We were putting up, like, insane numbers as far as an offensive side of the ball. But we could not get past New England because they had a system of the way they worked. And I don't know what you can contribute it to, but they just always happen to have our number. Their culture of how they work through their game week or what they did situationally in games. And you knew they were going to do it, but we thought our talent was going to supersede everything. It's only so much that you can do when you have talent. So give me the culture, because then you can just plug in pieces and make it happen that way.
I think with culture, maybe you also have to just think about making sure that the guys you're bringing in also fit the system properly. New England's definitely a key example of that. And that's what you want to look at when you look at Tennessee and what they're building. And that's what Gradkowski told us in that last segment was, you look at Vrabel, he believes in Vrabel.
Mm-hmm.
Vrabel believes in these guys. He's going to stand behind him. He is a player's coach,
yeah.
But he also commands respect. And I think that's also – there are guys that can get walked over mm-hmm. as player's coaches. He doesn't appear to be one of those. Like, no. He has their respect. They want to please him, not out of fear, but out of respect and admiration.
Yeah. And I'm sure the relationships with him at the facility is that of a – friendship, relationship. Like, I always explain to people about Coach Tomlin. You know, everybody always give him crap about being a player's coach. I'm like, nah, but you don't know him like that, because I always contribute him to the uncle that you're super cool with. You can go over his house on weekend and have a ball at his place, but do not mess up. You don't want to be a guy that gets on the bad side, because when his voice gets loud, or you're in, he don't even have a doghouse, but when you're on the other side of that line, you don't want him looking at you or coming down on you, because you know all he wants from you is respect and you to do your job like a professional. And that's what you see, or that's what he shows everybody in his press conferences, his reaction even on game day with his players. You see him chest bumping. You see him running drills with bags. Like, he's earning the respect of everybody in that organization, and it's amazing to see this team transform into something on a national scale, something that you can talk about. You know, people are proud to be in this era of Titans football right now.
The other thing is, like, you bring on somebody from Pro Football Focus and you assume that they're going to know a lot about Kansas City and a lot about the Saints,
mm-hmm.
and because they're national guys, you don't. Here's where the Tennessee Titans have gone. They've gone to a place where I feel comfortable asking a question, multiple questions, about the team here in Nashville, the Tennessee Titans organization, of national guys, and expect a specific, not just, oh, they're pretty good, answer.
Like, yeah.
Because people are paying attention to them nationally. Mm-hmm. And that's the first step in becoming more than just relevant.
Yeah. And that's the other part of it too. That you see, so I follow Will Compton on Twitter, and I think Barstool tweeted out a hit of him in that goal line where he said, "You're making me look like a Goldberg." And what Vrabel is doing is creating a culture that says it's a team first type of atmosphere. And he actually gave credit to Simmons on that, because he's the one that helped tackle him right there. So you have guys on the team bigging each other up on a national level, on a public platform like Twitter, and just saying, hey, no, this isn't me making this. It's him that's creating this play for me. And that's when you start seeing that type of stuff. They can openly have conversations on social media, or they can banter with each other a little bit here and there. That's the culture that you want from your team. And when you have those type of friendships, as we said, with Clowney moving into him, getting settled into his position or his role on the team, that's when you're going to start seeing some special things on game day, where picks just come your way, or they're running a game on the offensive line, and next thing you know, there's sacks, and there's five sack games and stuff like that. That's what you want, of having Tannehill catch a wave, and he's got a 300, 400-yard passing game. I know a lot of people want that. So that's what you want from your team, is that continual growth, and that's what I've seen.
Third hour of the show coming up in about 20 minutes or so. Rhett Bryan, executive producer of Titans Radio, will join us. We'll talk more Titans. We're starting to pivot towards the Jaguars, as you can see so far. We'll jump in a little bit deeper as we open the third hour. Always have your say on our say at 615-737-1045 on Twitter at JMart and Ramon.